your crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Y'all the house of who the hell he is. And it's cool that y'all can make it to my new meeting. So take your time, grab a table, we got booze seating. Now well, let me introduce me to my new people. See, my name is Lyric Small, baby, and I truly mean it. From the past, from the future, from the new releasing. You don't believe it, you can read it. Page one in your leaflet, L-Y-R-C. It's more, feel it more, baby. Top upper echelon of MCing. And I think on that topic, we all in agreement. I'm never running from a challenge, never been cheapish. In the rap, all the fame, we got to get me in. You got to see me do my thing, son, I'm too fiendish. Flinging tune after tune till the wound deepens. I have a room of human beings feeling loosey like a fiend leading. Moving to the music and the people screaming, baby. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. A combination of my past achievements, with a lot of heavy lifting, a lot of deep breathing, a lot of courage, a lot of doubts, a lot of mixed feelings, a lot of love, a lot of lucky for a lot of reasons. I ain't forgot about the pain and all the mistreatment. I ain't forgot the little box they try to wiggle me in. I ain't forgot about the flower deep underneath the crowded streets, sprouting in between the cracks, seeming chop, baby. Fought them like a lion in the Coliseum, and you can positive I dig them in the mausoleum. You think I'll ever hang it up on money, stop dreaming. You think I'll ever stop, oh baby, now you're reaching. I won't stop till I feel my lungs stop breathing. I won't stop till I feel my heart stop beating. I won't stop speaking this week and next week and all fall steep. Singing, I don't stop singing, fire freezing. Ice heating, fire fall fleeting. All bad fall free, clear from the mountaintop. Screaming, baby, calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. I said, calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Calling out to all area crew. We gon' make it all happen right here, right now. Get it on, get it on. We about to get it on, get it on, getting it on, on and on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a brand new edition of Nerdy Show. Hi, I'm Hex.
Front Force Mort.
Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Brian.
What we heard to kick it all off, that was Calling It Back by B&M. That was a mashup of Calling Out and Back in Black, because we're back.
And this is the first episode of Season 4.
Oh my gosh.
It's actually Episode 1-1, like the first world of Mario. Why is that?
I take the warp whistle.
The rest of us are going to have to just buff it.
Yeah.
There's no warp whistle in 1-1.
Hey, fuck you.
There is a warp zone.
But that's 1-2.
4-1.
1-2. But which Mario game are we talking about?
Well, the warp assholes. Whistle. See you later.
Well, that's the third game.
So we're splitting Nerdy Show up into segments, actually. Each one's going to be like our own little mini-sodes. During the break, a break from seasons, but not a break from action. Certainly, we had the weekly episodes of Nerdy Show After Dark with the OCAD guys, which is a lot of fun, celebrating Drunken Podcast Month. And we also had our first mini-sode, which is different from Season 4. The mini-sodes are completely supplemental, but it was a video game mini-sode. We talked about Mass Effect, Lair of the Shadow Broker, and the entire Mass Effect series, and it was a lot of fun to do. We're going to have more mini-sodes in the future, including a Castlevania one with some other games stuck in there, too. You might be saying, where's the action? Like, where's an episode like Episode 34 or Where the Wild Things Are? We've got these just, like, blockbuster episodes. Well, now we're going to have a blockbuster episode every single month. We've got something called Nerdy Show Prime, and it's going to be one massive, full-length Nerdy Show episode with as much craziness as we can pack in. At the time you're listening to this, we've probably got in our new t-shirts. We've got Nerdy Show logo t-shirts. Support the show. Pick up a shirt. They're totally awesome. They're on American Apparel, so they're extra comfy.
And American.
Yeah. Right? And also, to those who've donated already, thank you for donating. And guys, you know, if you continue to donate, there are actually, we're going to be debuting some donation perks that are pretty awesome. When we debut that, obviously there's going to be much fanfare, and it's going to be really, really exciting.
That is a Nerdy Show promise, goddammit.
Also, new website, huh?
Yeah!
We're going to be improving and adding features continually to the new website in the weeks to come, so get ready for
excitement!
Extreme! Yeah. Website! Comes with a headbutt!
Something that was also in our Mass Effect minisode was we announced the winners of the Wilro Hood contest that we started at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And I just want to, you know, congratulate and thank those amazing people again, and encourage everybody to go to our contest page and check out the entries, because they were really, really cool. First place was James Haley, who did an amazing Twitter feed from the perspective of Wilro Hood. It's just full of Star Wars gold, incredible stuff. And second place was a one-page Wilro Hood comic by Mike Knapp. Third place was The Ballad of Wilro Hood, an epic poem by Patrick Webster, which in the minisode is read by Galdap, the Misunderstood. So D&D fans may want to, you know, check that out for lulz. And we talk more in depth about the entries on the minisode. Also, another cool thing that happened was 24-hour comic day, Mike.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
How was that?
Yeah, it was,
you got home at 7:30 in the morning.
And it still went on for, God.
Yeah, you wrote your comic and then you ducked out.
Yeah, I'm a dick.
So you finished writing a complete comic.
Yeah, 24 pages.
And is someone drawing it then?
Tony finished drawing it, and he was inking five of them when I came in.
I actually showed up late, because it was from noon Saturday to noon Sunday. I showed up at like 2:30. Tony, our nerdy strip artist, and...
an artist of all kinds of stuff, like the D&D illustrations, yeah, and everything.
Exactly. He's basically the Nerdy Show in-house artist.
Yeah.
He had already decided on a concept, you know, had his character designs, had an outline, and I came in and scripted it. And so I wrote 24 pages of actual comic page script.
And during the course of 24-hour comic day, Tony actually completed all those pages, at least in the pencil stage.
Yeah, he penciled all 24 pages.
And inked and lettered 7 by the time the day was done, which is, like, really impressive
with
work.
I think with a little assist with Hex, you finalized some of the inks.
Is there a title? Did we get a title?
Yeah. It's
Axe Chick.
The story itself is called Battle Axe. Mm. And then it stars Axe Chick.
Details about that comic and how you'll be able to see that comic in its entirety will be forthcoming.
You know, it was a 24-hour comic. I mean, there's not a lot of depth to a 24-hour comic.
Yeah.
The most famous 24-hour comic I can think of is Sea Bear and Grizzly Shark. I think it's about as deep as that, but not as funny.
Sea Bear got convoluted. Grizzly Shark was awesome the whole way.
Yeah, the Grizzly Shark was just retarded.
Completely. It was hilarious. Ridiculous.
Sea Bear was
Sea Bear and Jamal?
Time travel and...
yeah, it was weird.
Sea Bear and Jamal, right?
No.
This isn't the Sea Bear that used to do those funny commercials on the WB back in the day.
No, not WB, Fox Kids.
Fox Kids?
Yeah.
I hate kids. This is Sea Bear.
No, it was like Sea Shark and Grizzly Bear, and then they switched them. So it was like Grizzly Shark and Sea Bear.
Okay. Okay. I was just making sure this wasn't a spinoff or something.
Coming up next is going to be our video game segment, but before we get into that, Brandon and I want to talk about something completely awesome.
Do we? What is this?
We're going to talk about a movie.
What movie? I don't understand.
We're going to talk about Legends of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahul.
The only movie I've seen in like the past 3 months.
Brandon's seen the movie 3 times. I've seen the movie twice.
I had to understand what each of the different types of screens had to offer. So I saw it on a normal screen with real 3D, whatever, it's actually called real 3D. It's actually shitty 3D. Then you've got the fake IMAX, as I call it, because it's called an IMAX theater, but the screen is like almost the size of a normal theater, you can see them in like crap, you know,
it's
random.
It's slightly
regals.
Bigger with a digital projector.
And then we saw on the huge ass IMAX. Yeah. Oh snap! And shit was like 4 stories tall.
That's where I saw The Dark Knight.
That was the best screen to
see
on.
So why are we taking our time to tell you about a children's film about owls? Okay, now, first exposure I had to this, we were at E3. And the trailer for the Guardians of Gahul was what they showed on the 3DS to demonstrate that they could play high-definition films on the 3DS.
Did I see that?
Which is amazing, by the way.
I think it might have just been me. It was crazy, and I was like, what's this owl movie? What the fuck? And then I was still a little bit skeptical because, you know, children's films just generally aren't good anymore. Not like the old days. And Brandon comes home, and he's just raving about this owl movie.
Literally raving. He, like, started flicking the lights on and off with sticks and was...
Yeah, my description when I came home was that it was a cross between The Secret of Nim and 300. Whoa. Which is actually funny.
Yeah, and the irony to that is that the next day, I went to see the film, and I said, whoa, this is awesome, and we get to the credits, it's boop, directed by Zack Snyder.
So it literally was made by the same guy who did 300. And I didn't actually know that, but you can definitely see his style in it, which works.
So what's his directing style like when he's not basically just ripping off a comic book?
A bunch of vowels.
Yeah, yeah. Because he doesn't have a source material to go panel by panel to.
They can do a lot of slow-mo in 3D animated movies, though.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Slow-mo is just, it's cheap. You don't even have to do anything.
I know he does slow motion, like, all of his stuff, especially in 300. But I think it actually worked better in this film than any other film.
You know, looking at it as a Zack Snyder film, which is how I saw it the second time I watched it, it was executed far better than any of his other films, actually.
It wasn't just like, let's slow it down so it looks cool.
Because the thing is,
So it's only 60% in slow motion then?
Yes.
Yeah, actually.
I want to know how much Hooters are in it in comparison to 300, Watchmen, and his upcoming movie Sucker Punch, because those have a lot of Hooters.
There are scores of Hooters in this movie.
I can actually
and there are
tell
some,
you
actually
all the
some very Hooters. Sexy Hooters in this movie.
Yeah, because, like, let me think. The Hooters in 300, there was, what, like, the Oracle? Uh-huh. So you saw her Hooters. And then there was, you saw the Hooters of, what, the Silk Spectre?
Well, there was also, in 300, there were, like, the Persian freak.
Oh, so Persians are freaks now.
They're freaky.
I'm confused. Are we using a metaphor for boobies?
We got Tycho Hooters. We got Bard Hooters. We got Dayton Hooters.
Hey, if we're getting into this, let me just tell you right now, for all you hipsters who like owls, let me tell you the rundown of how many owls are in this goddamn movie.
Hipsters do like owls.
You got your barn owls.
God. Wait, I have a brilliant idea. I'm going to make so much money off of hipsters. I'm going to create a D&D monster, which is a combination of an owl and an octopus.
Oh. What do you call it?
Owlopus.
Owlopus. Or Octowl. Wait, that sounds like a Pokemon.
Noctowl.
Noctowl.
Nah. Owlopus.
Anyway, there's a lot of Hooters in this movie. Here's why this movie's amazing. Okay, Secret of Nim in 300, right? Great comparison. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a little bit of Lord of the Rings thrown in it. A little bit of Watership Down, like the part with the Nazi rabbits of Efrafer.
Oh.
Like, this movie's, it's PG, but it's pretty dark. They do a lot of really great... This is an extremely violent scene, but we're not showing anything, but we're showing you just enough to be like, oh my god, that fucking happened. And these owl fights are amazing. Like, the slowdown thing is perfect for them, because these are two creatures flapping in flight at insanely fast speeds, and when it speeds down, you're like, just Christ, like,
the
look
detail,
at this mayhem.
The attention to detail they spent on every single owl species, and I've studied owls, and I can tell you that all of the primary flight feathers are there, all the secondary feathers are there, they've got everything they're supposed to, the colors, the patterns, all that crap.
And, like, while some of the parts of the story are a little bit flimsy, just the spectacle of it, I have never seen computer graphics this good. The level of detail is insane. You will shit bricks and, oh my god, badass owls with, like, metal talons and blacksmithing
and
like...
swords.
Yeah.
Or whatever those were. They were definitely swords.
Oh, but there's one major problem, though.
If you see this movie, if you haven't already, there's going to be 2 minutes where you're like, why is this happening? Who decided to do this? Sure as hell wasn't the director. It seems like they played this contractually obligated song that does not fit the movie.
You know, so what you're saying is that's when you go to the bathroom.
Yes. In the past when they did cool animal movies and stuff, like Flight of Dragons had Don McLean, the guy who wrote American Pie, and Watership Down had Art Garfunkel doing a song for it. But now you got to play hip things that kids on like Disney radio listen to, like Owl City.
Yeah, oh my god, let's not even...
So there's Owl City? Seriously?
Yeah, so there's a...
One song for 2 minutes. The rest of the movie's great, but that song just throws
there's
you off.
After all this, like, badass battle music and, like, Enya stuff and everything, there's 2 minutes of children's pop music during a montage.
Yeah, the music in the movie is incredible.
Yeah.
Except for that one song.
So we're going to go to a song now before we go. This month, at the end of this month, is Moogfest, where Devo's going to be playing, and CeeLo, and Big Boy, and Hot Chip, and a lot of amazing acts, and I'm going to be there.
Jealous.
So, if any of you guys are going to Moogfest or just anywhere near Asheville,
isn't
North
it pronounced
Carolina,
Moog?
I don't know. If someone wants to, email me a pizza roll and then we'll talk.
But yeah, we got Moogfest at the end of this month. We got the Debo interview and we got Minecraft coming up.
Yeah,
it only made sense to do Working in a Coal Mine by Devo.
And just to make sure that this combination is even more nerdy, Working in a Coal Mine by Devo was a single made for heavy metal.
Yeah.
So it just goes right along with badass animated movies.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down.
different every time. I start inside a box. The world on the outside. The sun is going down soon. I better go inside. I cover up the door so I can wait and hide. So I can wait and hide. So I can wait and hide. So dark now, it's hard to even see. The tunnel's getting black, I'm almost out of trees. I go back for more coal and find there's nothing left. But there's something in the dark, and I think it's after me. I think it's after me.
Just listened to was Minecraft the Song by Bobby, how do you pronounce that?
Bobby Yarsulik.
Yarsulik, who is releasing a whole album about Minecraft, which we'll have an interview with him later in this segment.
Yes, that is correct.
And that's Minecraft, as you may have seen on our site, is...
It's kind of a big deal, people.
Yeah, it's kind of exploded on the internet in an unfathomable way. It's an indie game for the home computer box.
Or the on-the-go lappy top.
Yes. Yes, yes. And it looks like a Nintendo 64 game, but does things infinitely more complex than a 64 could handle, probably.
Probably.
It's a gigantic virtual world, seemingly endless, develops as you go, no point to it but to survive.
And the textures kind of actually look like 8-bit, like NES
well,
textures.
Well, the texture files
running on an N64
are so small, the texture files, that when they're blown up, they look uber pixelated. Mm. So I've seen people, like, do more hyper-detailed textures.
I don't want hyper detail.
to change the look of the game. In fact, Matt Craft did that.
Yeah, actually, we have a new video series on Nerdy Show, and the first episode of Matt Craft, done by our friend Matt Downham, shows you just how Minecraft works, and actually he's using a skin for slightly more advanced graphics and textures and so on. Because it's an infinitely customizable game, and the level of customizability will only explode. And we're going to talk about how the game started and our personal Minecraft adventures, because every world you create in Minecraft is your own, and you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's never been a game that I've ever played, actually, that has made me feel like I'm actually on a unique and real adventure. The same, like, paranoia of like something bad happening to you in a strange place where you don't know what to expect, a kind of, like, loneliness. And this is something that I've seen commented on all over the internet. Like, people have said, I've never felt real fear in a video game, like the fear of being attacked in Minecraft.
Okay, okay, so before we go into details, say I haven't even heard about this Minecraft thing until, like, last week. And at that exact same time, I purchased Civilization V because I'm addicted to that series. Why should I put down
$13?
No, and no, actually, I already got Civilization, so there's like, what? Why should I put down my entire expansive conquering of this world?
That's not a word.
Shut up! You don't lecture me on words. Sell me on it.
Because
I don't even know what it is.
This is what I would say. Minecraft is. Minecraft is exploration. It is an adventurous spirit. This is like probably what Lewis and Clark felt as they explored America. You are in a randomly generated world. You are in your own world. This world has not existed for anyone else. This world was not developed by a developer with purpose or anything. So everything that you are discovering is your own. You are completely on this adventure, like trekking through the wilds, digging a hole into hell. And, like, you do whatever you want. Everything you find is your own. It taps into something, like, in our DNA. Something primitive.
I mean, reality doesn't work this way. You don't punch a tree and it explodes into, like...
Wrong.
Okay, if you're a man, you punch a tree and it explodes into wood that you immediately turn into lumber with no tools whatsoever. But in a way, Minecraft does work on, like, certain rules of reality that you can just... you know, take it for granted because it's a very kind of human experience in a strange way. The world is entirely comprised of blocks. You can beat up almost anything and turn it into something else via a crafting system. So you mine and you craft. And everything you destroy, like just like clunks of dirt or stone, then you are just prompted via survival to build it into something else. You'll inevitably have to build a house because there are monsters that will get you every time it becomes night and you'll be afraid.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the more advanced you get, the more stuff you get, the more easygoing you go, and all of a sudden you're designing a house. You're doing more complex things. It's like, you know, just the general human experience. First you build a hut to survive, but eventually that hut turns into a mansion, like all that crazy stuff in Blue Lagoon that could never exist.
And then you build towers that go above the clouds, and decide to build a road that goes all the way over the ocean for some... You don't have a reason why you're doing that.
A Babel simulator, and you will be punished for your arrogance.
My first experience playing...
Yours was hell. Much more interesting than mine.
Yeah, like Minecraft is it's just fun. And like when I play a video game, like any video game, when you first go into it, the world feels big. But as time goes on, you know the world, you know the area. So it's like, you know, you play like a game that has an actual like big world, like GTA 4. When it starts, it feels so big you can't fathom it. But near the end of the game, you have your paths, you know which way is what. This keeps that feeling of like endless world just forever, because you keep going and the world keeps going and it just never stops.
And it keeps going up and it keeps going down.
Yeah, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Like, it's just amazing. When you first start crafting stuff and accidentally creating something, you're like, oh my shit, fuck, this is cool.
What's amazing about it is the game is still in alpha. The game that everyone's buying right now is still in alpha. You're paying a discounted alpha price. You buy it once and you get every version of Minecraft that will ever exist.
Yeah.
So, like, that's immediately amazing. But it's still an alpha. Things are being added. There's been a Halloween pack added, and there's new stuff already. You could get a fishing rod before, but you couldn't get anything with it. Now there are fish. Yeah. This is fucking surreal. Dig this. A fast travel method that involves you, so you can, like, you know, go somewhere else on the map. It involves you portaling to a hell world, walking a small duration, and then appearing hundreds of meters away from where you started. It's like when Nightcrawler. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what he's stuck down there, because he said there's more monsters and they're more difficult. So I don't know what's in hell, but I'd imagine there's some awful stuff in hell.
Maybe some dragons.
How the hell do you make hell?
I don't know.
I think, I don't know. It's probably randomly generated too. Torches.
Oh, hey, here's a great one. When you go underground and you find a cave, there's a chance that it's going to be crawling with creepers, which are these terrifying... What'd you call them when you first saw them?
Okay, yeah. It's
a good story.
Before we start telling people about the update, let's tell people a little bit more about...
Like our first experience when we were virgins.
About
Virgin Minecraft.
When you got your Minecraft cherry popped.
Yeah.
Okay? And, you know, you're just riding that galloping horse and it just explodes.
It's like, a common thing.
Yeah. My first Minecraft experience was I saw some guy playing it at a coffee house, and I was like, what the hell is that? And he's like, it's a video game. And I was like, how'd you play that video game? And he's like, Minecraft.net. And I was like, thank you. And I went and I bought it immediately because it looked like it appealed to my sensibilities. And
she also told me about it, and I got it.
The next day. Yeah. And so you start off, and you're like, okay, what the hell do I do? I'm gonna punch a tree. And so you punch a tree, you get some wood, and you have like a 2x2 grid, and you make a crafting table. And it's kind of like pixel art, how you make things. You make like a T-shape to make a pickaxe and things like that.
Was your world like a snow-covered world?
Yeah,
I remember that.
My first world was a snow-covered world. And just the fucking fear that sets in when night falls. Horrible monsters come out, zombies, skeletons with bows, all of a sudden like...
Spiders, sometimes skeletons riding spiders.
Yeah, giant...
Which I've seen once.
Giant spiders and horrible, horrible things that look like Frankenstein's dick, okay?
Which we call, what, Frankendick?
We call them Frankenweener.
Frankenweenies.
Yeah, the Frankenweenies. The Frankenweenies would come for you, and they make this horrible... at right before they fucking explode.
And you didn't know what those were at first. You're like, I'm hitting a tree, and suddenly you hear the noise and you die.
And you're like, great, I explode randomly.
And there's a huge hole in the ground.
Yeah. And so I learned to come to fear these things called creepers, who will destroy anything you've got going on unless it's made of stone.
Which they can actually destroy stone. It's just a very, very, a much smaller radius of explosion.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, so.
Which is my stone house is encased in dirt.
But yeah, so you just, you know, you start this game, you start building stuff, and it's just, it's amazing.
Can I talk about my first experience?
Yeah.
Okay, so I start this game, you know, Mike tells me about it, I get it. I'm like, there's a manual online, there's some forums, you can see how to do shit. I'm like, screw that. I jump into the game, I don't know what any of the buttons are, I know that the mouse scroll changes items, and I can, like, punch things with the mouse button. So I immediately punched trees. I didn't even know there was an inventory where you could craft things. So I'm immediately laying like the solid square logs I get from trees and making a base for a house. And I'm chopping down trees with my fist, and I explode a few times and get really pissed. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Why am I dying? And I learned that there's these things chasing me. And at night, skeletons are coming after me. So I have like a 2-foot house on my first night where like skeletons and zombies are coming after me and they can see my head, and so I'm desperately at night digging in my own house to get like dirt to build up so they just can't jump over and kill me. And I don't have a front door, so I seal it completely off, and I'm completely sealed off except for a roof. And so this happens, and then I get more wood, and I learn how to make like 2x4 like planks of wood and make a crafting table. I learn how to do that. And I just keep stacking my house up and up because I don't know how to make a roof. And eventually it goes completely up past the clouds. And the only way I kept going up to build it was making a stairway, like, out of blocks, because I didn't actually know how to make stairs, that I had to keep jumping up around the tower that goes all the way through up the clouds. And everything is pitch black. I didn't even go underground yet. I didn't even do any of the mining. Everything's pitch black. I didn't even know you could make light in the game. There's monsters everywhere, and every time night would come, I'd climb to the top of my tower, and sometimes it'd actually fall into my own house because there was no roof, so I would just die, and all my items would drop everywhere. And so that was my first experience. It was very frightening, and I learned, you know, how to make fences, how to make lights.
I think
like
the first time I saw Brandon playing, I was like, hey, have you tried pressing I? And he was like,
and like, meanwhile, my house has gone like 50 stories up and it's made out of wood.
It's completely flammable.
Yeah, half of my house is made out of wood. And then I learned like I've been hitting stone with my fist, which takes a really long time to break. And Mike's like, you idiot, you can make a pickaxe. So I make a pickaxe and you actually get stone materials from the stone. You can't do that without a pickaxe. And so I was like, oh, so I finished my tower using stone. Later on, I learned how to make flint, or that tool that like can light fires, accidentally light a tree next to my house because I didn't know what it was that I just created. The tree catches the entire bottom half of my tower that made out of wood on fire. The entire thing starts burning. I'm trying to put it out. I'm replacing the blocks, but everything is like burning as I'm like rebuilding it. So I had to completely redo the tower out of stone. And so that was my first experience, and it made me cry a lot, and it was lots of scary things.
Luckily, only, like, the sand and the gravel have the falling physics.
Yeah, the top half of the tower stayed there even
floated.
Though it was missing pieces, so...
I got Minecraft a little bit later. I'd been out all night. I came home at 3 in the morning, and Mike and Brandon are like, hey, we set up a multiplayer server. I'm like, oh God, okay, I guess I'll get Minecraft. So I get Minecraft, and I'm playing, and then I get sucked in, and I'm playing until 6 in the morning. Yeah. And I was like,
oh
my God,
damn it, I had shit to do.
Yeah, seriously, I had to go to sleep. I had to do work. Oh my God. And then eventually I did start a single player game, but what had happened was I had downloaded Minecraft when it was when the entire server had crashed due to Penny Arcade telling me the world about Minecraft, much like how Brian crashed the Protoman site when he talked about Protoman for the first time.
I will destroy them.
Yes. If you just posted about Minecraft, it could have been you. You'd be the destroyer of worlds. So I picked it up then, and there was actually a thing where it didn't come with the sound effects. So I had a silent game, and it took me a while to figure out how to rectify that. And so I was playing without sound. So when it was night and I was walking around, I couldn't hear creepers. I couldn't hear zombies. So the first time I ever saw a zombie was terrifying. I was punching trees in the middle of the night. And
it's not like a realistic.
And I turned around, and there's this moon like rising, and there's this cross shape in front of me because everything's made out of blocks. And then I realized that the cross that's moving towards me is a person. And it's like, it was this weird meta experience. It was terrifying. What's that rustling? Is there someone else here? I think we've got John and Kristen on the phone.
Don't know what you're talking about.
There you are.
Over here.
Yeah, hey. Hey, guys.
You guys want to tell us about
And then
Minecraft?
I told John, don't whatever you do, don't play Minecraft. It'll suck all your time away. You'll never want to stop playing it.
I was weak
right now.
You guys, actually, once you got into it, built an incredible structure. Because Minecraft has some amazing, like, geological features that'll show up in the randomly generated worlds. We have a... Well, actually, might as well tell you about this now. Now, the multiplayer server that Mike and Brandon and I started at 3 in the morning has actually been continually developed, and we don't know if it's going to go away when they implement survival mode in multiplayer, because multiplayer currently doesn't have bad things happen at night. You can't die from...
doesn't have evil mobs.
It doesn't have... It really, nothing bad can happen to you unless you, like, die in lava.
You're pretty much immortal right now.
So
they haven't implemented like damage.
I can speak from experience, because if there's magma around, I will magically like dig into it, mine into it, fall into it.
Okay.
It's pretty impressive.
I have not attempted that due to fear.
When you play,
you can't even
player.
Injure things actually, but you can light them on fire with flint, which I've discovered recently.
Yeah, I have exploded a chicken with fire once online. Yeah. It was amazing.
It like lava is one of the greatest fears in the single player. So when you play the online game and you can just like swim in it and dig through it, you feel like a god.
And you literally have to swim. I fell like I was farming obsidian, and I fell in a lava pool, and for some reason I guess it was flowing, so I actually was like taken underneath the obsidian, and I actually had to like use my stupid pickaxe, and it took me a minute because it wasn't a diamond pickaxe, and it takes forever to go through obsidian. I'm like, this is really dumb. And I was just like underneath the lava, like, oh, this would suck if I was in survival mode, because I would have been dead.
We are opening up a Nerdy Show multiplayer server where you can come and play with us, and it's going to be on all the time. And if you go to the page, we'll have the IP address where you can plug it in.
Now,
and you can come play with us.
It's funny that we're going to have a multiplayer server, because there's one thing that is really popular on the multiplayer servers is
griefing.
That's true.
That's why it'll be hilarious.
Yeah, there'll be so much griefing.
And rebuilding constantly.
It'll
be great.
I've seen people like just go, there's like a giant wooden tower that someone was building.
And someone lit it on fire.
And someone lit it on fire and burned the whole thing down.
And then they'll be like, LOL.
That's what you get for building with wood.
Yeah. Then I saw a video on YouTube about like these people making a world, like a giant globe with all the continents on it. And then like as he was showing it, he was like, yeah, it's got a bunch of holes in it because it's been griefed all to hell. And then he looked up at the North Pole and it said something like, fuck you. Like, and it's just like, man.
See, Minecraft is all about learning from your experiences.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys heard about that guy that did the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that when he opens up that there's no griefing, although I think he's going to be pretty smart about it, but holy crap.
Yeah, that's something we're going to get into a little later, talk about the insane things that people have created with Minecraft. Right
back
now, we're
up
gonna...
your shit, right?
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously. Right now we're going to cut to a song, actually. What you got for us, Hex?
I got a Minecraft Every Day by Victor Sapida.
Yeah, like the Bobby Yaselik song is, you know, the biggest Minecraft song out there, but there actually is another Minecraft song. Both are good. So check this out.
Walking round my town, the cows and pigs, they push me cause they wanna. Sooner or later, spiders come my way. Never find that diamond anyway. So my tools keep on breaking away. I got Minecraft logging every day.
What Kristen mentioned before the song break was that someone has actually crafted a entire replica of the USS Enterprise D in Minecraft. There's a video of it we have linked on the site.
It's not a complete replica yet, but it's the frame.
It's to scale, though.
It's a scale frame. Yeah, every block in Minecraft is a meter.
It's a cubic meter.
Brian, what was your reaction when you saw this the first time?
What? What blew me away is that I saw the link a couple of times before I actually watched it, so I already had this preconceived notion that the kind of guy who's going to spend that kind of time is going to be a total nut, just out of his mind, and a total FASPY freak. But, you know, the guy who's narrating it, he was, like, a perfectly normal dude.
Yeah.
But
there are other people that are exactly what you think they are, though.
The guy's name is Halcoon.
The other one that I really liked was the person who made the to-scale arithmetic logic unit, which is basically how math is done in a computer.
Now that...
Except the way the guy sounded.
Who had a classic nerd voice. But actually, that, the guy who made the ALU, the 16-bit ALU, that is a... We're gonna talk about that a little bit later, because that is a part of Minecraft that is a sci-tech clusterfuck.
I still don't understand.
Yeah, dude, I just like making houses and shit.
I like making holes in dirt and hiding in them.
Yeah, I like...
and then I put dirt on top of me, so nothing...
What do you do in Minecraft?
Oh, jeebus. I dig a deep hole, and then I throw folks in it.
Let me talk a little bit about the Minecraft fear.
My god.
Early on in my game, I was digging a lot of holes. I built my house into the side of a mountain so I could create a mine out the back of it, nice and convenient, right? So I was digging a lot, and I found a couple pockets every now and then. I'd done a lot of digging where it was just stone and dirt and stone and dirt. I never came across anything. I'd hear stuff. I'd hear water trickling in the walls, but I wouldn't know where it was. I'd hear zombies, but I wouldn't know where they were. So I get down to the bedrock, because you can go too high and you can go too low. And when you go too low, you get to bedrock, which is this kind of...
Or I think another popular name is the Admantium.
Yeah.
Which they might actually be enhancing and making deeper.
Oh, yeah.
For October 31st. But anyway.
It's not like a flat wall that you can't go through. It's scattered just like any other mineral. So there's holes in it. So I got to the bedrock, and there were some good minerals down there. There were some gold. There were some diamonds. So I was digging in it, and I was digging pockets in it, and all of a sudden, lava starts spilling out. So I plug it up real quick.
You can
throw some rocks into it, it stops. You're good.
Yeah. But even though I should know better, even though I know I'm playing with fire, literally, I'm hopping on all these, like, random patchy sections of bedrock, and I'm digging, and I'm trying to find minerals, and then, boom, I hit a lava vein again, and I plug it up. But this time, I'm trapped in a little box of bedrock, and there's nothing. There's no way for me to... There's holes I can look through, but they're only one unit tall, and you need two units to walk under it. So I'm in this box, facing this dirt that I've plugged up lava with, and there's no way I can get out of there. And I'm just in there for a minute, like, looking around, just thinking, is there any way I can do this? Is there any way I can do this? Is there any way I can get out of here? And it's like, has this real, legitimate sense of claustrophobia, and I'm like, fuck it, there's nothing I can do. So I pickaxe at the dirt, and it falls away, and I'm trying to get out of the lava, and it's and boom, I'm just dead in this hole in the center of the earth, all alone.
Now, could you not have gone straight up?
I could not.
Why not?
Because I was encased in bedrock on all sides.
Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah, on all. On
except
all
for the
three,
one way I came in that was plugged
sides.
With lava.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
How about that one game I started, Brandon, where
as soon as you built your house, like, there were three creepers constantly exploding your house?
I was in creeper land.
Every time he spawned, there were so many creepers, I don't know why, every time he built a house, that it made a hole all the way down to lava where he spawned.
Yeah, so I just kept, like, running, and then I ended up getting blown up and blown up and blown up and blown up, and eventually, I basically mined extremely deep through creeper explosions.
I saw that.
And I was just like, look at this deep hole I made from blowing up.
This is where my house should have been.
Yeah, and so I built a massive moat so that, like, creepers would just, like, fall in the water and then be brought to the hole and then dumped into it.
Now, one of the minerals you can mine, like, not diamond, not gold, something called redstone. And we were mining it for a while. We knew we could make a compass with it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And then I was wondering, well, what else can I do with it? So I built a steel door because I knew I could make a steel door. And I didn't want creepers to explode my wooden door, or my wooden door just get set on fire. But I build this steel door, and I can't open it. So at this moment that I've got a steel door that I have to, like, destroy to actually get through, I'm like, okay, well, this is not actually functioning as a door. I need something else. And I'd never gone on the forums before, but I did. I wanted to find out how the hell this worked. Like, oh, build a lever. But then I find out, okay, so you build a lever, and you put the lever next to the door, and it opens the door. But then once you go out, you can't close it because the lever's inside. You build another lever, you can't have two levers operating the same door. You need to use redstone to build wires and then create a mechanism to close the door. And then I just open up this thing that I couldn't have fathomed existed within Minecraft. Turning redstone into wires and also redstone torches creates the rudimentary components you need for simple electronics building.
So basically it's electric
it's
engineering
circuits
at this point.
And transistors.
Specifically
and
logic, actually. Like computer logic.
It took me an hour and a half to build a door that would open and close on either side. I had to blow out the walls of my house, dig down the earth, and then, like, create these tracks of wire, trial and error, doing it over and over again. There were some creepers and skeletons who started spying on me. I got really nervous. At the end of the hour and a half, I created this network of wires inside the house, and then I closed it all off, and I felt like an electrician.
You were an electrician after that.
It was insane. Like, I had to watch a tutorial on, like, there's lots of great tutorials for, like, trying to figure out stuff with redstone. But then we, like, and I was like, well, this is complex, and I told John about it because it's like, you know, John does electrical engineering stuff, so, like, it kind of blew my mind. I knew he'd know what to do with it because he'd realize what represented a transistor and how it all worked and all that. But then we saw this guy called the Internet FTW on YouTube. We'll have a link to it. He's the one with the classic nerd voice. And he created a 16-bit arithmetic logic unit in Minecraft. Basically, what you see is a bunch of, like, networks of dirt and stone and a bunch of wires on it, and it looks like you're on the base level of a silicone circuit board.
It looks like it's going on for miles.
You are the size of an electronic impulse, pretty much.
He used a program called the Redstone Simulator to draw it up, which is, there's a lot of great things that people in the Minecraft forums have actually created to help you use Minecraft. There's one called Cartographer that lets you create a virtual map of your world so you can see what you have in your current world and look at the tunnel structures and everything. But this thing, it's insane. I mean, like, this, it is an actual working computer. He walks around and he removes torches and, like, turns them off and stuff, and then all
pretty
of a sudden
pretty much torches act as an on or off impulse. Mm-hmm.
And he creates this massive tract of land that gives him simple arithmetic problems. And he's actually going to create replications of, like, memory structures to actually amplify the computer in time. He will create a working computer within Minecraft.
How do you do that?
It's like, blah.
It hurts my brain.
Man, I'm not that smart.
I like digging holes. I like lighting trees on fire because then the stumps are there and they're on fire and, like, I burn that tree.
But you know what else you can do with the electioneering and the torches and everything?
Electioneering.
The torches, like, they emit, like, a negligible amount of light, but they do light up. There's a clear off and on. This one guy named Cyclone, we'll have a link to his work as well. He does some impressive work with the lights. He actually created virtual neon with red torches. He has a house he calls the Love Shack that has this giant heart that turns off and on like an automatic, like, timer system he created with, like, layers and layers of sub-basements of red wire, as well as a trim around his house that, much like Christmas lights, has alternating layers of, like, when lights go on and off. It's insane.
Whoa.
if you could see me right now, my hands would be up in the air, and you'd be like, I don't know how to do this. Why?
I make swords, and I go hit piggies with the swords.
The thing I got about the red sand stuff, though, is you can only use it to affect the torches, the doors, and, like, what, like...
Well, you can actually do something with the wires and minecart tracks, because you can build minecarts, and you can build tiny roller coasters.
Right. You can change them, like, 90 degrees or something. Of course, minecarts don't even work in multiplayer yet. It's like, I want something else as an actuator, you know? Like, if I'm going to be wacky and make something like a timing circuit, which they do have on the wiki, the actual, like, timing circuits, pulsers. I think they even have, like, 8-bit memory stores and, like, bullshit like that that they've managed to put together. But, like, I'd really like some stuff like elevator and crazy shit like that.
Yeah,
that
I
they'd
do
be
really
able to program,
want elevators.
Like, floors.
I'm sick of walking up my crappy stone stairs. I want a wooden elevator, and I want someone to light it on fire when I'm going up it, like, up a giant tower, and I want my elevator to be on fire.
Brandon, if they make elevators, I will do that for
Thank
you.
Thank you. You better.
No problem.
Well, real quick.
Yeah.
Let's jump into the interview.
So, Bobby, you have created an entire album of Minecraft music. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy, and it didn't really mean to turn into that, but it did anyway.
How'd the project get started?
Well, obviously, it started out with the song that everybody likes. And to be honest, all the other songs, they don't have the same magic that the first one had, I'll be honest.
It's true. I mean, you created an anthem to the entire thing and then broke it down into specific tracks about diamonds or zombies or spiders and redstone.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, if I recorded all the songs I sing myself while I play Minecraft, I mean, I would have a full album as well. I mean, there's classic hits such as Dig, 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 We Love to Dig, and then there's Mine, 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 We Love to Mine. And
Mike, let's be honest, it's I'm Building a Giant Dick.
Yeah, there's that song too. It's called Giant Cock. Here are the balls. Giant Cock. And then Run, Run, Run. Fucking spiders. Run, Run, Run.
Bobby, your love for Minecraft is, you know, I guess it must be relatively severe. You've got a whole album of music out. So tell us how you got started playing the game.
Well, you know, I just kind of found it, probably like a lot of people did. But not like nowadays, because people are finding it because of the media on YouTube and through other websites, and because it was still small, like January and December. And, you know, you get addicted to it because it's so simple and it's open. And I think that was what was so appealing to me, was that it was so open, you could be creative. And, you know, it's not one of those games where it sets the story for you. You can make your own story. And I think that's what makes it really cool.
So as a musician, naturally that making your own story sort of translated into you making the song, I guess.
Exactly. It was kind of like building off of that, yeah, and like giving everything its backstory. Exactly.
You're actually starting a career in geoscience, according to your Twitter anyway. Or is that just in reference to Minecraft?
That's a long story, actually. I've bounced around my major a lot lately. I actually started playing Minecraft before I decided that I felt like getting into geology. But my major's recently switched back to doing music. I want to compose music for video games or TV or commercials or something, but I don't know which degree or field to get into that will put my foot in the door.
Making a Minecraft album is a pretty great way to start in this day and age. The do-it-yourselfers are the ones who are at least making a name for themselves the quickest. And you were actually recommended to us by our listener, Jason Theriault. You know, he sent me a message and said, hey, have you seen this? And I just followed the breadcrumbs to you, and you just released the album. And it's even though the title track is, you know, the best song, it's still, you know, impressive. 10 tracks. And you have a video series called Randomcraft, and in one of your most recent ones, you showed this kind of amazing splashdown backdoor secret entrance to a temple with lava and fire inside of it.
Yeah, totally.
The splashdown thing, I'll describe for the listeners, but they should check it out. It's really cool. At first, there's an elevator using water. It's just a big column of water that you swim up, which is awesome. You get up on top of this thing, and you kind of drop through this little hole on an elevated stone platform, and that deploys you then many stories down into a lake of water, but there's a hole in it, and that hole goes directly into a cavern. And Whoa. It's like an ultra secret entrance. It's very, very cool.
Well, that video that I showed specifically was just me and a buddy of mine, and we had gotten on and we were just building like this temple. And probably the thing that I liked making, which he started me doing this, are like cannons that shoot TNT.
Whoa,
and,
what?
And you can make it.
Those? What?
Yeah, well, it's really hard. It uses TNT, the adminium or bedrock or whatever that you can't explode, and redstone. And basically, you make kind of like a trap for the TNT. And when you put two pieces of it, one explodes and shoots shoots the other TNT a little further away, like 20 blocks. And then you see the hole in the ground that it makes.
My God.
Jeez, there's so much stuff I don't know still.
Wow.
Yeah, you can see stuff. You can see stuff online. Like, there's people that I think have made a tutorial about making cannons like that. It's really cool.
Yeah, YouTube is, like, saturated with Minecraft videos, and it's just incredible. Like, whenever I have a question about something, I turn to it to, like, look for instructions. Or, I've really even just scratched the surface. I mean, that's what's so great about the game. Bobby, what's your favorite track on the album?
You know, I'm going to set the first song aside because, I mean, literally that is my all-time favorite like everybody else.
Right.
But if I had to choose another song, I'd probably pick like Zombies or something. It just has a grungy, dirty feel and it just doesn't like any of the other ones.
I really like that track.
And hey, it is October. So now let's play Zombies by Bobby Yarcelik.
And a while ago, a joke compilation album for the old video game Spelunker was made. And Mustin, the video game remix legend he is, took the You're Dead music and did an awesome little ditty called You Just Fucking Died.
which is so true in Minecraft.
And he was able to sneak in some awesome music, like a little tribute in there. And I'm sure I don't need to introduce what it is. You'll figure it out when you hear it.
I downloaded a video called Spelunker once. It's not what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Did somebody fall in a magma?
One, two, three, go.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Nerdy Show. Nerdy Show is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the Oviedo branch of Play and Trade. If you have questions or comments, please feel free to send them to info@nerdyshow.com. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, Dungeons and Doritos, comics, videos, and more, go to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @NerdyShow or friend us on Facebook. If you enjoyed what you heard, support Nerdy Show by telling a friend, or better yet, give us your money by visiting the Nerdy Show store and picking up a t-shirt or donate directly to cool Nerdy Perks.